Please be seated.
The session is called to order. Can you draw the curtains and bring in the witness? Good afternoon, witness. Good afternoon, Mr. President. Prosecutor, I'll give you the floor to continue the examination in chief.
Thank you, Your Honors. Your Honors, with the Chamber's permission, I would like to briefly return to Exhibit 127. Witness JJ, when we left off, you were explaining to us how you were taken by some Interahamwe and brought to this the cultural center, which we identified as building number 5 here. And for the record, on building number 5, I will mark it with a CC so that it is clear on our Exhibit 127. At this time, how many of these men were escorting you to the cultural center?
There were many. There were very many at that time. In fact, we did not have the presence of mind to be able to count them.
At this time, you mentioned to us that Akayesu was in the yard, the courtyard of the compound. Can you tell us exactly where he was at the time that you passed him?
He was standing there in front of the Bureau Communal of Taba.
Use the pen to point the area. Can you tell me when I'm close to where he was standing? Is it near the A that we put before?
Just in front of the Bureau Communal.
This area here? Yeah.
Yes, exactly there.
Reflect that I will mark an A1 by the area the witness has just indicated. Where is the entrance to this cultural center? Is it in the front of the building, the back of the building, if you know?
There were three doors. There is a door in front. There is a door to the left side and another door behind, just behind the small house. The small house you see behind there.
You see in front?
But we entered by the front door.
The front door, is that the what we see in a photograph here, what appears to be facing the road?
Yes, just the door opposite the road.
Is this the area where I'm pointing now?
Yes.
Again, for the record, I'll mark this with an arrow pointing to the door. And I may have asked you this before, and forgive me for re-asking if I did, but at the time you saw Akayesu, was he there alone or with someone?
He was with policemen and some Interahamwes who met him there.
As for the policemen, were these policemen armed?
They were armed. They never abandoned their arms. They were standing outside. Armed.
Do you know who these policemen were?
I could not identify them. I was not able to look at their faces. In fact, we were confused. They were asking us to leave. We knew we were going to die in that room.
What was Akayesu doing with the Interahamwe when you saw him, if you're able to tell?
They were talking, but I can't know what they were talking about because we were being asked to leave quickly and go back and go to the house.
When you were being taken to the house, were you being taken, was this voluntary or were you being taken by force?
They dragged us by force.
Now, witness JJ, at this time I would like to talk about what happened once you entered into the Cultural Center, building number 5. Can you tell me, once you entered into the house, what did you see upon entering into the room?
The prosecutor, for the following part of the next questions, you still need the slide? No.
Thank you.
You have the floor.
What did you see upon entering into the room?
When we entered the house, the Interahamwe pounced on us and started raping us.
Okay. Again, this might be a little difficult to talk about, but we need to speak into a little detail as to what actually happened to you upon entering into this room. What happened to you when you entered into the cultural center?
When we entered the house, here I'll talk about what happened to me. I was not interested with in others. I heard young girls shouting near me, but I would recount what happened to me personally.
And what happened to you?
They threw us into the house since they spent the whole day drinking and smoking marijuana. I saw a young man who rushed at me. He led me to a corner of this room. He undressed. He put his clothes on the ground while it was still daylight. I was wondering what he was going to do, but I could see his intentions. I asked him what was happening. He replied to me that I no longer had any right to ask him anything, that we had been abandoned even by the authorities.
And then what happened?
He took his penis and inserted it into me. In fact, he did humiliating things to me, although I am a mother. The experience was very shocking to me.
What happened?
When he finished the first time, he started a second time. I was so exhausted. I was almost insensitive. It was very difficult for me to put my legs together. He left me there, he abandoned me there and went away. He climbed to the area where other persons were raping the other women who were with me. Where I was lying, I could hear people, the cries of young girls. I could not stand up to see them, to watch them. Where I was, trying to recover some energy in order to stand up, a second person came to me and asked me to lie down once again, or made me lie down once again. All I saw is that he undressed, he took off his trousers, he was left with some pants, some underwear. When he pulled out his penis, he still had his underwear on. He also raped me. But I was practically dead. It was as if I was being killed. Maybe he realized that I was going to die. When he finished the act, he left immediately. A third person came while I was still lying down there. When he saw me rolling on the ground, he saw that I was practically dead, so he put on a condom. It was very difficult for me, indeed, to be able to put my two legs together, to put my thighs together. It was as if it was a duty.
What happened at this time?
When they finished, they went away. We tried to drag ourselves on. In fact, we were actually dragging ourselves on since we could not walk. We dragged ourselves on up to the point where we were before. I went to a neighbor and asked for a little water in order to try to treat myself. I asked for some warm water. Since he was a believer, he gave me water and some pomade to apply to my body. When I arrived there, in fact, I looked like somebody who had been in mud.
At this time, how were you feeling emotionally?
I was shivering when I left the place. I felt so weak. I was so weak.
And mentally?
I had lost consciousness. I was wishing I had died at that time.
At the time that these events were occurring, do you know where Akayesu was?
I saw him when I entered. When I was passing, I left him in front of the Bureau Communal, but when I came back, I had lost my mind. I could not remark him. My eyes were, I couldn't see well.
Later that day, were you able to get some rest and recuperate?
I was not at peace. I didn't have peace of mind nor peace of the body. But I believed I was going to die. I was wondering what type of death I was going to die.
Let's move on to the next day. Where were you the day after this event, if you recall?
The following day, the Interahamwe, in fact, who were getting used to us, they came to visit us as usual. They came to see us time and again.
When you say they came to see you time and again, would they do the same acts, meaning rape you and the others?
They came to beat us up. They also beat us up.
The next day, did you see Akayesu?
I saw him the following day as well. I saw him the following day. Interahamwe came to see us time and again after looting and pillaging. They came to see us.
Did you ever see Akayesu holding any meetings that day or any of the subsequent days?
The same day, there was a meeting of Interahamwes and other teachers. There were also businessmen or traders. I was not near them, but I could see them in a meeting. They were holding a small meeting.
Was Akayesu present at this meeting?
Yes, he was present.
These people who attended the meeting, do you know whether or not they were Hutu or Tutsis?
They were Hutus because the Tutsis had been killed.
Now, witness JJ, were you ever taken back to the cultural center after this first incident?
After the meeting, the Interahamwe again made us return to this house.
How many people did the Interahamwe take into the house on this occasion?
There were a number of people. I think there were more than 10 persons, because others were leaving the communal office little by little to go back to their own, rather into the houses of others where they were killed.
Did you enter the cultural center on this occasion?
They also dragged me into there. But it was like dragging a dead person, because I was just about dead. I could not walk. And the place where they used to drag me, it was like dragging a dead person. When we arrived inside, they did the same thing to us that they did before. They raped us again. Even the day before, we were already like we were dead, so it was like they were killing us.
At that time, on this occasion, how many times were you raped?
Only 2 times.
As this was happening, do you know where Akayesu was?
He was in the communal office as well. He had not left it.
Do you know whether or not, at that time or after you were raped, he ever came to the area of the cultural center?
I remember one time he came in front of the center and he addressed the Interahamwe and told them so never ask me again what a Tutsi woman is like.
Did he say this at the time you were in the cultural center for the second time, on a second occasion?
He said this the second time. He came the second time. And that is when he said, never ask me ever again what a Tutsi woman tastes like.
Could you see and hear him clearly at this time?
I saw him and I heard him myself. He was standing there at the entrance to the center.
What happened after this incident?
He also told them, never ask how a Tutsi woman tastes like, and that tomorrow they will be killed.
What happened next?
Well, the following day, because since I could no longer walk and I had a great deal of difficulty walking, because I even had a child, it was difficult for me to carry my child. So the following day after the meeting and after these events, I had some money that a well-wisher had given to me when he found me there in the compound. When the baby began to cry, I went to the store to buy beignet, like a cookie for the child. When I returned, I encountered people. The interpreter did not get the answer. When I returned, I saw they were carrying a person named Hereye, and they were saying that this person was imprisoned in the commune office itself. Like, the president is saying that the answer of the last to the last question, the answer was not understood by the interpreters. Could you please explain once again about the Hereye? What happened with Hereye? When I returned from the store, I saw people who were carrying a man named Hereye in their arms. They brought him down to the area called CND, the place in the commune where people were being killed.
What did you do at this time?
In the meantime, I met someone who informed me that the man that they were carrying, the man that was carrying Mr. Hereye told me later on that all the women who were with me had just been killed. They had been brought to the place where people were killed because he had been wounded in the leg.
And what happened to you? Did you stay in the area?
When this person told me that all the persons who were at the communal office had just been killed, that person also advised me to go back, retrace my steps. So I left the communal office and I went to hide in a sorghum field. And that is how I left that communal office, and that is what I saw.
Witness JJ, I'd like to thank you for your testimony. And I realize that it was difficult. At this time, Your Honors, I have no further questions of this witness.
Thank you, Prosecutor Counsel. I give the floor to Judge Pile.
Witness JJ, I would just like some clarification. Here I am. All right, I would just like some clarification on parts of your evidence. Now, on the second time that you and the others were taken to the cultural center, you said that you had been raped two times. Was that by the same person?
I said that they took us twice on two different occasions, two different days.
I'm talking about the second time when you and the others were dragged to the cultural center.
It was one person who raped me twice.
All right, now, after you'd washed yourself with the water and so on, where did you go? You said that the Interahamwe came to see us time and again. Now, where was that?
The water that I received to wash myself came from a woman who was a believer who gave me water, and she lived very close to the communal office. When the Interahamwe would come to see us from time to time in that area or even below the road, we would move everywhere because we didn't know exactly where to go.
So you were outside, you were outdoors, were you?
Yes, we were outside.
You said that these young girls who were with you and who were raped were very young. Can you estimate their ages for us? Or at least give me the age of the youngest.
There were some girls who were around 14 or 15 years of age, so that when they were raped, they would cry out a lot.
And you said that this man told you that all these women who had been with you were killed. Did you believe that?
Most of the people that I was with at the communal office were all killed.
Did you know any of these young girls who were raped?
These were young girls who came from sectors of Mugaba and Murahe and from other places as well. And so we all came together at the communal office because we hoped to find some refuge there.
Did you ever see any of these girls again?
Most of these girls, after having been shaken and exhausted, returned to their houses, and later on they were transported to the river. Most of them were brought to the river. Others were killed at the Taba Bureau Communal. The day in which Harry S. was killed is when most of the others were killed as well.
Arias, a young woman who was amongst those who were raped. You didn't hear me? All right, you mentioned... Well, before I ask that question, what do you mean they were taken to the river?
They were thrown in the river, in the water.
All right, then you mentioned one girl's name, Ariel. Was she one of those who had been raped?
I don't know either. I heard Nyereye, but actually I've just been handed, this is an interpreter's note, the name is actually Intereye, Intereye. I did not mention an Ariel, says the witness.
Yes, all right, it's been cleared now, you meant Intereye. Now, you said you were one of 10 people who, in the beginning, went to the accused to make representations to him. Why did you approach the accused? What was your purpose?
That's not what I said. I did not say that. I did not say that unless you want to correct me.
Well, let me see what I have here. This is in the beginning, before the rapes and the killings. You said that you saw the accused, and a number of you, you said it could have been 10 or more of you, went up to the accused and spoke to you. Do you remember that?
I did not say only two people, only. We left as a group. And we wanted to meet with the burgomaster to tell him about our problem. We wanted to ask a question of him and to find out when we were going to be killed. And it was on that day that we were told there were no bullets left and that bullets had not yet been made available. It was at that moment that we were chased to the compound or into the compound so that no one could find us there. And it was at that time that he said that there were no bullets that should be wasted. The witness would like to know whether this was the time period you're referring to.
Thank you.
Counsel, are you ready or do you feel you need more time? Interpreter could not hear the answer. The microphone was not on. The court stands adjourned in recess for 15 minutes.
Please be seated.
The session is called to order. Before we call in the witness, I would like to give some information on the timing of our work. Today we'll be sitting up to 5:30 p.m. Tomorrow we shall not be sitting. The sitting of tomorrow will be postponed to Monday because tomorrow we'll be taking initial appearances. Tomorrow we'll not be sitting in the Kayesu trial. We'll be having... So what was programmed for tomorrow would be postponed to Monday, and today's hearing will be concluded at 5:30 p.m. Draw the curtains and bring in the witness.
Before cross-examination begins, can the interpretation booth make a correction for the record? Before cross-examination begins, can the interpretation booth make a correction for the record? I'm sorry, Mr. President. Perhaps there was an error made with regards to the age of the young girls. Would it be possible to ask of this witness to clarify on as to the age of the young girls who were raped? Very well, I shall ask the question. What was the approximate age of the young girls who were raped? I think it was probably around 12, 13, or 15 years old. 12, 13, or 14 years old, correction. 12, 13, or 14 years of age. Yes, that's what I heard, yes. But did the interpreters in English have a problem with that? All right, 12, 13, I see. For the record, the English booth has a different correction. The English booth has a correction. When the expression Père de la tête was used, the interpretation was given. I give the floor to Judge Aspergen for clarification.
When you say that the girls were 12, 13, and 14 years old, was that the average age? I think, to me, they were still children. Chua is aged 15 and above. She becomes a big girl, more or less, from 15. I understand. But were there other girls who were maybe 15, 16 years old? Yes, there were about three girls who were older than others, but I do not know their names. Most of the girls in question were only aged from 12, 13, 14 years. They were still children, in other words. I was only estimating their ages. It is possible that they were older. Yes, I understand, says the judge. But are you talking the ages you have given? Do they apply to most of the girls, the majority of the girls? These young girls were those who were accompanying their mothers. Please listen to my question. Whether they were following their mothers or not, my question is, the majority of the fields, most of the fields, where their ages range from 12, 13, 14, the oldest left, they were able to leave, but most of them were these children. So you are saying that most of them were the children. The elder ones, the older ones could run. I understand, says the judge. Thank you. Witness JJ will give the floor to the counsel for a cross-examination.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I'll give the floor to the prosecutor.
Sorry to interrupt, but I've been informed by the English booth of the translations that they have a correction that they need to put on the record.
Yes, the correction was... the expression perdre la tête, which we rendered as losing consciousness. Actually, it should be losing their minds, not losing consciousness. They lost their mind, not they lost consciousness, as we said during the interpretation. So the correction has been made. So we're saying witness JJ will now give the floor to counsel for the defense to carry out a cross-examination. Counsel for the defense. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, madam. First of all, I would like to know your age. I am 35 years old. Do you acknowledge that you were questioned by the Office of the Prosecutor in the month of June 1997? I don't remember that. When you were questioned by the Office of the Prosecutor on the 12th of June 1997, to be precise, you stated that your child died during the events in 1994. Is that correct? Did you say that? Yes, that is correct. Pardon me? The president is asking the defense counsel to speak louder. First of all, does the witness remember that she was questioned by the Office of the Prosecutor in the month of June 1997? That was the first question. I do not remember the exact date. I think this is what I think I heard, but she remembers that she was questioned. I was questioned. She was questioned, but she doesn't remember the date. Now your question. She told the prosecutor that her child was killed during the event of 1994. Is that correct? Yes, that is correct. Do you know the persons who killed your child? Yes, I know them. Could you give their names? There was a man called, it was a man called Bayisenge. And a woman called Kabayana. What happened to these persons? I left my child with them. I left my child with them when I escaped. And they, when they were going to run in their turn, they killed my child. What was the age of your child? At the moment, the person in question is in prison. And the woman escaped, but she has not yet been arrested. What was the age of your child? My child was 1 year, 8 months old. Why did you not leave or escape with the child? I hid myself. As the day broke, during daylight, Mr. Bayisenge asked me to give him the child. And since he had a cow in his house, he could give him milk from the cow. The witness was moving all over the forest. Mr. Bayisenge belonged to which ethnic group? He was Hutu. And Kabayana belonged to which ethnic group? She too was Hutu. At the time, you had a baby, didn't you? It was a child who was walking. How old was the child? 1 year, 8 months. I do not know whether my question was understood. Is it the same child that was given to Bayisenge? Yes, it is the same child. The counsel asked him, or asked the witness, whether he witnessed it and have another child. Before then, I had three children. But they escaped to their own direction, and I escaped my own way. You had three children or four children? I had four children. The youngest was the fourth. Is that the one who was 1 year, 8 months old? Yes. That was the youngest. So that one didn't die. He is the one I left with this gentleman, since he told me that he could give him milk from his cows. Did that child die? When we were running away from bullets, that child died. And when I returned, I realized that the child had died. Did he kill him? When I returned, I learned that it was the wife of that gentleman who killed him. So it's only the woman and not the man who killed the child, asked the president. They collaborated, they connived to kill him. There were two of them who killed him, but after having killed him, they put him in a small house, as a kennel for dogs. If I understand rightly, you had four children. During the events, the first three escaped. The last one, who was 1 year, 8 months old, was still with you. That is the one who was killed by Mr. Baisenge and Mrs. Kabayana. Is that correct? Yes, says the witness. That is correct. Now, who is that baby who was with you when you were a victim of rape and sexual assault? When I was raped, I was still with the child. I gave the child to this gentleman in the month of May. During the first days of war, I was still with the child. I was still carrying the child on my back. I was still living in the commune and I had the child on my back. Thank you, says counsel. On what date did killings begin in your cell? Killings began in the month of April. You don't know exactly the date on which they started. I don't exactly remember, or I don't remember the exact date when killing started. Neither do you remember the date when you arrived in the Bureau Communal, the communal office. In fact, I could not even remember a date. I had lost count of the days because I had lost my mind. But when the prosecutor questioned you on 12 June 1997, you remember that the first day when you were raped was 27 April 1994. Is that correct? That was only an estimate. I estimated the date. I made an estimate because in our place, killings began around the date began around the 20th day. It was only an estimate of the date. How much time did you spend at the Bureau Communal? Approximately 2 weeks. Before seeking refuge at the Bureau Communal, you knew that people were being killed there. And why did you go there in spite of that? I sought refuge there because I knew that people who were going there were killed by bullets. I didn't want to be killed by machetes and clubs. So you had a preference to be killed by bullet, asked the counsel. I preferred to be killed by bullet because I thought that it was more painful to be killed by clubs and hose. When you arrived at the Bureau Communal, did you yourself see someone kill others? I did not witness a scene where someone killed another, but I saw a place where dead people were killed behind the school. You spent 2 weeks at the Bureau Communal. Therefore, for 2 weeks, you did not see anyone kill another. You only saw dead bodies. When I arrived, the first group of people had already been killed and buried. But if these persons had been buried, what did you do to see the dead bodies? When we went there, we could see them because they were unearthed by dogs, and Interahamwe's were asking us to rebury them once more. I could not ignore that because members of my family were among those people who had been killed. The members of your family were also killed at the Bureau Communal? Several people in Rwanda belonged to my family and they had been killed at the Bureau Communal. Did you know the policemen who were working at the Bureau Communal? I knew some of them. Could you give us their names, please? Yes, I could give you the names. If I remember them, I could give you the names. I could mention them. Yes? Mention them? There is a certain Gatabaruka. Gatabaruka. Urumuvenshi, pardon me? Urumubenshi. Urumubenshi. A certain Atanas, who was a brigadier in the police force, that should be the equivalent of a corporal, maybe, but I don't remember his name. There was another one called Mugenji, and a certain Mushumba. At the moment, I'm trying to mention their names, but this is a long time ago. I can therefore only remember the names that I have just given you. I don't remember any more names. That's all right. It is not serious, says the counsel. During your stay at the Bureau Communal, did Mr. Kayesu threaten you? The only thing I can say is that he didn't treat me well. He was authoritarian. He could also protect us. He didn't feed us. He did nothing for us. And when I went to see him, he asked the policeman to get me away from there. If I understand well, Mr. Akayesu did not personally threaten you. I went to see him, begging him to kill me as they had killed others. Why did you address yourself to him? It is because he is the only one I was seeing, and I knew that he was a superior of the commune. He was a leader of the commune. But is he the one who was killing people? He is not the one who was killing. But, pardon me, can the witness repeat? Because she has been using long sentences which we cannot be easily understood. The question asked is simple. Is it Jean-Paul Akayesu who was killing? I did not personally see Akayesu kill. All I can say is that when we arrived at the Bureau Communal, he did nothing for us, whereas he was in a position to do something. On 12 June, you testified that Mr. Akayesu ordered the Interahamwe to beat you up. Can you tell us the number of those Interahamwes? He was the one who gave authorization because he saw people beat us up and he said nothing. Did you see him give orders that you be beaten up? The reason why I say that he was the one who gave orders, it is because when we arrived at the communal bureau and when he went to do his rounds, when we sought shelter in the houses that I showed you along the road, when we ran away from the rain into those houses, when he came back from his rounds or patrols with the policemen, he found us where we were and he would beat us and we would run away. And we ran helter-skelter and we ran in all directions and he saw us run in all directions under the rain. What was the number of these in Terahamwe? At night, we were beaten up by policemen, and during the day, we were beaten up by the Interahamwe. We were beaten up by the Interahamwe, by the police, and in the evening, by the police. I asked a question on the number of Interahamwe. I cannot estimate the number of the Interahamwe, but I realized that there were many. I could not count them, especially as they came to beat us up and there were many. But this morning you said there were four. I said that we were beaten up by four. But these were not the four who stayed there every day to the number, their number increased. And on how many of them were there on the last day? At that time, I had lost my mind. I could not count them. I could only see that there were many. These in Trehamwe, were they, did they come from the Taba commune? They came from the Taba commune. Some of them I knew because they came from surrounding areas. At the Taba commune, there were so many in Trehamwe. There were so many of them that they didn't have to look for reinforcement elsewhere. How many people were beaten up by the in Trehamwe? I cannot know that. I cannot estimate their number because when I arrived, the people I found there, they were almost dead. They looked dead. This morning, madam, you gave a figure. It was only an estimate because I could not go in there to begin counting them. What did you estimate their number of what? Or what estimate did you give? I estimated their number at about 60 or more, but this may not be the exact figure because there were many. It was only an estimate. I did not count them. Do you remember that 4 months ago you estimated their number at 500? In fact, there were indeed many. I had lost consciousness. I could not count them. Now, did you lost consciousness or what? I had lost my mind. I am sorry, I had lost my mind. I understand that you lost your mind, but between 60 and 500, there is a major, a very big difference. The speaker's microphone. We have agreed that in such cases, the statement be given to the tribunal, the prosecutor. Can you give us copies of the witness's statement?
May we mark that as exhibit 128?
128.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Counsel, you may continue. Thank you, Mr. President. I was just reminding the witness that between 60 and 500, there's a great difference. Please indicate on what page, Counselor, you see the number 500. I see it's in the second paragraph, all right? Is that what you're referring to? The second paragraph in the French version? Where it says there are about 500 persons at this location? So the witness is saying today 60 or more refugees were at the Bureau Communal. And the defense counsel is reminding him that he has stated to the prosecutor that there are some 500 persons at that location. Is it 60 now or is it 500? I never said 500. I think the person who wrote that made a mistake with the number. Remember, maybe there was a mistake. Thank you. What weapons did the Interahamwe have? They had clubs, they had axes and swords, and also small hoes. They also had pointed pickaxes. You spent 2 weeks at the Bureau Communal with your baby. Yes, I had my baby when I left the Bureau Communal. I still had my baby. What did you do to feed the child? Well, to survive, since I had some acquaintances in the commune, I asked for people for something to eat and I would use this food to feed my baby. Why didn't you stay then with these people? Well, when you go and you're Tutsi, Tutsis would be killed and then the livestock would be eaten. How many times did you leave the Bureau Communal to go look for food? Well, the entire period that I spent at the communal office, I went to various neighbors in the commune asking for food. Would you go there during the night or during the day? At times I would go during the day, but by going through the banana fields, And sometimes in the evening as well, some well-wishers and believers would come bring us some water in jerry cans to the communal office. And you did this without the knowledge of the police officers and the Inter-Amway? The Inter-Amway would come in the evening, and they would beat us. And then they would return and resume with the looting and the pillaging throughout the countryside. But you said you were surrounded in the day during the Inter-Amway and at night by the police. How would you be able to get out? We were not closed into a closed area. The Inter-Amway would come to verify to see that we were still there. They would come and verify at around 8 o'clock to see if we were there. Sometimes they would beat us. When they had something to do in the countryside, to steal or to loot, then they gave us a break when they left. And then they would come back in the evening to verify once again if we were still there. Otherwise, they were not protect or guarding us, if you will, the entire time. We were not in a closed area. We were close to the road. So you're not in a closed area. You're in a place where there's nothing to eat, and where you were being beaten, and where you were being raped. Why would you always return to the same place then? Well, we had come there actually to seek out our own deaths. We had commanded and demanded that we be killed, but our death kept being postponed to tomorrow and the next day. You also talked about the cadavers that you were able to see. You stated that you did not see anyone kill anyone. You did not see Akeizu kill anyone, that you only saw the dead bodies. And you drew from this the conclusion that someone had been killed using clubs, small hoes, or perhaps even knives. How did you come to this distinction? Well, I drew this conclusion from what I saw, because in my own area, Tutsis would be killed using these types of instruments. Weren't there any firearms in Taba? The first group that was killed at the communal office was killed using grenades. They put them somewhere in a closed area and they threw grenades at them. And this grenade killed everyone, asks counsel. It's possible that those who did not die then were then finished off. But when we arrived there at the communal office, we were told that they had been killed by grenade. Did the Inter-Amway and the police who beat you, are they all in prison today, or are there some who are still free men? You cannot place all the Inter-Amway from Taba Commune in prison. You could not find enough room to put them all in a prison. Many of them are still free. You talked a great deal about rape. To your knowledge, were there cases of gang rape in Rwanda before April 1994? I don't know of any other elsewhere, because I did not travel a great deal in the country. I only saw these type of things during the war. And how would you explain this phenomenon? Well, when I think about it, I feel a great deal of sorrow. Did these rapes take place in public? Yet the rapes were public because, for example, I was raped by a group of people who raped me in the presence of children. And when I meet these children, and I'm a mother myself, and when I think of these combinations, I really feel bad. Even the persons who were raping us were young people, younger than us, while we ourselves were mothers. Try to imagine a mother raped by young boys, younger than the woman itself, herself, and even by bandits. And when I think about that, the war just comes alive again inside of me. I pray to God to try to help me to deal with this and cope with it. You said that some of the rapes took place in the forests or in the banana plantations, is that correct? Or in anywhere where there were violent acts that were carried out, because the authorities had abandoned us. Anyone had full reign over us. No one was there to protect us. What was the approximate age of the rapists? I think perhaps the oldest person was around 30 years of age. It depended on the group of attackers that one would encounter. And among the attackers, the majority was made up of young rascals. The persons who would find you in your hiding place would have their way with you. They would do anything they wanted with you. Because you would think, perhaps, instead of dying today, perhaps I might die tomorrow. And the youngest person was how old? 22 or 23 or maybe more. Maybe older. In any case, it was not someone who had the same age as a mother. Moreover, even elsewhere outside of our country, a mother should be respected. However, during the war in our country, in Rwanda, nudity of a mother was humiliated because of her public nudity. This is why it would be very difficult to still find my heart. Please pray for me. Did you remarry after these events? I was able to remarry, but my life is never really back on track since that time, since I was rendered handicapped. What handicap are you referring to? Because of the blows I received, and also because of the rape, I don't know if I was contaminated. I can no longer farm, because I can no longer use a hoe because of the pain I have in my ribs. Whereas I used to live based on the food I would grow. So you can imagine the very heavy sorrow that the war has caused me. Can we come back to the rape? Did you tell your husband about this? My husband is dead. The husband I have today is my second husband. Yes, I'm referring to your second husband. Yes, he knows everything. Because he can see what we were doing. He also encountered similar problems during the war. And so on a sentimental basis, you're trying to rebuild your life. Yes, a little bit. You talked about the rapes in the forest and then the banana plantations. Did you witness these rapes? Yes, it did happen. Anywhere you would go, you would see attackers who would rape you. Did you see this at the Bureau Communal? These rapes. Would you see these rapes from the Bureau Communal itself? I went to the Bureau Communal afterwards. Otherwise, even before that, I took refuge in the countryside, where they would pursue us and we would have to change from one hiding place to the next. Did Mr. Akeizu personally participate in acts of rape? I never saw him rape anyone. So what are you charging him with? What I'm accusing him of is that when we came to the communal office, he did nothing to protect other human beings. Could you explain further, how could he have prevented such rapes? Did he have the means to prevent these rapes? He had the means, because he never tried to even find out if he would fail. He never tried, even made an effort to find out if he would fail. However, when he was standing at the entrance of the center, he was talking to the people who were raping us and told them, or asked them, never ask me again what a Tutsi woman tastes like. Mr. President, with your permission, can we once again have the projection of Exhibit 127? Microphone to the President, please. We are going to, after you have seen the projection, we are going to then take a recess or an adjournment. Are you going to finish with your cross-examination today, or do you need Monday as well to continue? I will also need Monday, Your Honor. Very good. Okay, please then let's put up the projection and then we will continue.
Your Honor, I'm willing to assist counsel on this issue, but I just want to raise an area of concern. I spoke to witness JJ yesterday, and she informed me that she did have some pressing family concerns back in Rwanda that she needed to attend to. I just wanted the chamber to be informed of this to see if there's any way we can maybe find time tomorrow or even Saturday to conclude her cross-examination so we can get her back as soon as possible. As the chamber is aware, she is recently did have a child, and I think that enters into the equation. Thank you.
Please put up the projection screen, and then we'll answer that particular issue afterwards. Thank you, Mr. President. I would like for the witness to clarify for us the exact position of Mr. Akeizu on this layout. This is the question I'm asking the witness. At what moment was he located in position A, and at what point was he located at position B? Rather, what position, when he was located in position A, and when he was located in position A prime? When they were raping us, Akeizu was standing at A1. The second time we were raped, Mr. Akeizu was standing at A1. Now, the first time you were at what location? The first time they brought us into the building, he did not come inside. The second time, this is when he positioned himself there at the entrance. The entrance? Do you mean here? Yes, that's where I mean. So the second time you were raped, he was here. He was right at the entrance. Yes, let us clarify and understand the witness correctly. He entered when? After the raves? You must be very, very clear on that issue. It was not actually after she was raped or... Mr. President, the witness is saying that she was brought to the cultural center and that Mr. Akeizu was either at point A or point A prime. This is what the witness told us. When did the witness tell us this? We've only heard her this morning. Yes, this morning, Mr. President. Yes, we heard her say that she was in the Bureau Communal. When they were raping us, Mr. Akeizu was in the compound. There where it said A prime. We came very close to him, and we entered into the cultural center. And there, after the rape, he came to the door and he made the statement that you related to us a minute ago. Is that right? Yes, he said the words that I related to you. That's correct. Thank you, Mr. President, says counsel. Counsel, we're now going to address the proposal made by the prosecutor. Indeed, we should take into account that this is a woman who is breastfeeding. Perhaps she's not in a position to be able to stay for a long stay here in Arusha. So I'd like to ask you, if you fear that you will need more than 1 or 2 hours, then we are ready to find some time tomorrow, even though we have a very busy schedule, because the tribunal does not want to sit on Saturday. We've done that in the past. We don't want to do it again. So we'd like to ask you now, if you need more than 1 or 2 hours, in that case, we will try to find the time for that. It will be less than 1 hour, Mr. President. Less than 1 hour. All right, very good. Then we'll find some time tomorrow for the cross-examination to be completed. What I'd like to propose is that tomorrow we hold this on the second floor courtroom. And so we are adjourning now. We will begin again tomorrow at 9:30 a.m. here in this room, in this courtroom. The courtroom stands adjourned.
All rise.